know, musicians, they want to have the stage. It's only stopped counting up so fast. I'll make some more stuff up if you want.
We are in church. Oh, nobody heard me. Good. Well, good morning. If you were here last week, we were blessed with Jimmy Sutherland from Olivet Nazarene coming and sharing and gave a great message about Jonah and Jesus. But 2 weeks ago, I had said we were going to spend a few weeks just talking about some common themes for the church and the mission and for every Christian. So 2 weeks ago, remember, we talked about, are you fishing? If you, as a follower of Jesus, are called to be casting your nets, to be a fisher of men, and what are you doing in your life to fish? And again, we reminded ourselves that fishing takes patience and it's messy and you have more losses than wins, but we got to keep casting our nets. And so today, we're going to talk more to everyone in here as an individual about what I believe are two of the most powerful words Jesus, if not the most powerful, he ever spoke. And those two words are, follow me. That he, every person who has ever lived and ever been exposed to the gospel, and you sitting in church this morning, you are asked by Jesus, will you follow me or won't you? And today we're going to remind ourselves that probably most of us here have said, yes, I will follow you, Jesus. But there's two components to that. There's the initial following of Jesus, and there's the continual following of Jesus. And we're going to talk about that today. Because follow me is both a command and an invitation that we must choose to either accept or reject. And accepting him once doesn't mean that this week or today or tomorrow we have woke up with a heart and a spirit that says, yes, Jesus, I'll follow you. Because we can still say, yeah, I've done that once. These are two life-changing words. And guys, we will live eternally with the consequences of what we say to Jesus' invitation to follow him. Not only will we, but so will others. Whether you and I, the redeemed of Jesus Christ, are saying yes to him. I will liken following Jesus to this, because I get to talk about me. I got a mic. So anyway, because I like to eat and I want to be healthy. About a year or two ago, I started running, because as you get older, you have to do stuff. And about 5 months ago, I ran a half marathon. I didn't run the whole thing, but I finished it. But anyway, I will liken following Jesus to that. You get to the start sign, you're all fired up, you've done your training, you've got your really cool running socks, whatever, you're ready to go. Boom, the first mile, two or three, you're just like on fire. You're just rolling with it, right? But then you get a couple miles in, stuff starts to hurt. You know, the first couple miles, I was passing people, I'm like, look at these losers, you know, I'm going so fast. And then like at mile 7 and 8, they're all passing me because I'm walking. But anyway, you know, when you first accept Christ, or maybe you get baptized, or you leave church on a Sunday, or maybe you've just heard some praise and worship music, whatever your thing is, you're all fired up and excited, but then it kind of just, life hits you. People, stuff, work, our own self, our own sinful natures, whatever it might be, it's so easy to be like, what am I doing here? Am I a Christian? I don't know. Because I remember when I did the race at mile 3, I remember I was already getting kind of like, I really want to like walk. And I saw that, and I was like, I have 10 miles left. I just really want to quit. Like, I don't have anything to prove. But guys, the initial following of Jesus is a lot like that. Are you following him today? You following him tomorrow when you leave church? What about the rest of today and tonight? You guys, can I tell you something that's very spiritual in nature? I don't think it's any coincidence. I mean, I can't disclose 99% of what I know as pastor to our church. But it seems like Sundays are a day in the evening where there's a lot of issues with people. Husbands and wives get in arguments. People have stuff happen. I don't think that's any coincidence at all. I think that's the spiritual battle that goes on. I really do. Sundays just always, something always just seems to happen. And I don't think there's any coincidence to that. What we do is many of us respond, yes, Jesus, I'll follow you. But this must be something that we do continually in surrendering our lives and hearts and wills to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Barna did a study. This number seems so high, but 52% of people that they surveyed who claim a belief in God but never attend church, 52% said they had once made a decision to follow Jesus. Half the people who never come to church say, yes, I'm a Christian. And listen, I will say again, unless you're sick, shut in, extenuating life circumstances, the heart of someone who's following and in love with Jesus Christ will not stay away from his bride, from his church. Just won't happen. from worshiping Jesus, being a part of His people, being part of what is going on. Now listen, people can be saved on their deathbed and people can fall out of love and come back to the church, but the attitude of someone who's in love with Jesus, I'm a Christian, but I don't need to be part of church, is ridiculous. But also, we must be careful, church people, to not say, well, because I come to church, I'm a Christian, or because I'm this denomination. We must also realize that us following Jesus is always an issue of our heart and our lives. Jesus told this in a parable. If you have your Bibles today, we're going to be in Luke chapter 9 and John chapter 6. Jesus told a parable of four soils. And we'll get to those in a moment. But two of these four soils failed to bear fruit. They said the roots were shallow. You got to ask ourselves, I have to ask myself, what are my roots like in Jesus Christ? Are they shallow to when, you know, something happens, I get mad, I get upset, I stumble, I just leave the church, I leave following Jesus, I live like life however I want. Jesus said that the cares of the world and thorns got in to two of these four situations. And I want to persuade you today, before you leave, and if you've never said yes to Jesus, you'll have a chance to do that. But probably for most of us here today, you have, but are you following Him, or have the cares of this world choked out your fruitfulness? Have they choked out your joy? Have they choked out your holiness? Have they choked out your ability to come in and worship? And if so, I think we need to do, as we're told in Hebrews, to lay aside all this stuff, and especially the sin, and keep our eyes on Jesus. Because this stuff, God knows how we are. Life gets in the way. It's easy to have once been saved, but to not really be following Jesus. Our souls are saved. What does the enemy then want? Make us unfruitful. Make us not come to church. Make us live in sin. Make us have bad attitudes. Make us be selfish. We could go on. Today, Luke 9 and John chapter 6, we're going to reveal two very personal truths and two things about following Jesus, which is, number one, Jesus says, follow me, is that you have to choose to follow Jesus in the first place. There's point number one. It's a great day to take notes, as always. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. We're going to read over the course of six verses about three men who have said, yeah, I want to follow Jesus. And this is kind of what we do a lot of times. Yes, I want to be a Christian. Let's read this. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, hey, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus is telling this guy, you want to follow me? It may not be what you think it is. Then he said to another, follow me. And he said, Lord, let me go first and bury my father. But Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead. You go and preach the kingdom of God. And another said to him, Lord, I'll follow you, but first let me go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. See, guys, we understand that we can never be good enough or do enough good works or anything to deserve God's grace, that Jesus died for our sins and that salvation is a free gift. But we accept that salvation by accepting Jesus, right? And Jesus wants to be very clear. There's a cost to following Him. If you think it's all bells and whistles and nothing but grace, and it's just, and there is amazing grace, but there's also truth in following Jesus, there is a cost. The cost is our life. It's giving it to Him. That's accepting His grace. But so often we want the salvation, we want the forgiveness, but all this other stuff. These three men all had something. They're like, I want to follow you, Jesus. And they're like, but hold on. And we do that, don't we? I'd follow Jesus, but this. And but I'd come to church, but I'd follow Jesus, but I would forgive Him. I would live a certain way, but I would make my life right in God's eyes, but. And I got to be honest with you, I cannot lie that I don't like buts. That was supposed to be like a joke about that old. That was so bad. First service really laughed. Apparently old people listen to Sir Mix-a-Lot. All right. Because we have these buts. We have all these buts that keep us from really following Jesus, from really being sold out to Him as our Lord and as our Savior. And so here's what's going on here. Jesus is on His way to Jerusalem for the last time. He's going to fulfill His mission. He's going to be the sacrificial lamb to die for you and me and for all of mankind. And of these three men, two volunteered to follow Jesus. One was kind of summoned by Him. But did you notice Jesus was almost discouraging these men from following Him? I'm like, that doesn't sound very Jesus-like, does it? That just sounds kind of, He's kind of discouraging them. Most will try to sell you all that they can. Most people that try to sell stuff or get you to follow them or buy in, like politicians, they'll say anything to get your vote, right? People will do anything to sell you something. I mean, DirecTV mails me three things a day. Switch to DirecTV. They're trying to sell you something, right? Jesus is like, no. Jesus isn't really that concerned with numbers. He tells the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth because He is God. And He's like, hey, I want you so badly to follow me. I want you so desperately to surrender your heart and your life to me and for you to repent and turn from your sins because I love you. And not only do I want to give you eternal life, I want you to have a good life now. But don't think it's just yes, Jesus, and then live however you want. There's a cost. And Jesus is reminding us of that today. His motive is that all people become disciples. He's patient. He doesn't want anyone to perish. But we have to count the cost. And there's three costs today I want to talk about of following Jesus. And they're not real warm and fuzzy, but they're very true. And I love them. I think they're absolutely right. Number one, the follower of Jesus has no earthly security. Read verses 57 and 58. Jesus reminds him that foxes have holes and birds have nests. In other words, they have a home. And Jesus is like, I don't have a home. You want to follow me, it may not be what you think. You're not going to be able to have earthly security. The man says, I'll follow you wherever you go. I love his enthusiasm, but Jesus says, have you counted the cost? Jesus reminded him, we're not staying in five-star hotels. I don't have a personal chef. We're not traveling on Air Force One. There's no big paycheck for following me. Jesus is like, I don't have a home. I'm just going to preach the Word of God. If you want to follow me, it's probably going to cost you something. And that's a question we must be honest with ourselves about is what is my faith costing me? Am I following Jesus so much that it puts me out a little bit? Because it should. Now, be careful because our human nature is when the first time following Jesus puts us out, the old BA bad attitude creeps in. It's just human nature. We have to fight against that. Jesus is reminding him, I'm worth it. He's saying, if you'll follow me, I'm worth it. But there's a cost. It's not always going to be too easy or too comfortable in our faiths, in our lives as believers. Jesus isn't telling us don't have a home. You got to get your mail somewhere. But he's like, don't get way too comfortable in this life or in the things of this life. Jesus had come from glory. He knew what was ahead for all who would believe. But earth, Jesus is like, guys, you follow me. Hold on. Remember, this is the same Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, who once had to borrow a coin to make a point. He didn't have a coin. He once borrowed a donkey, didn't he, to ride in? That was a borrowed donkey. Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb. See, this world is not our home, and he's reminding us of that. I live at 738 East Penn Street. If you didn't know that, please don't start showing up at all hours. I mean, you're always welcome, but, you know, 738 East Penn Street, but that's not my home. Listen to this. 738 East Penn Street is not my home. I want you to do that with me. Now, hold on. If you live in the country, I grew up in the country, and I grew up in Mount Carmel, rural Route 4. But now it's not rural Route 4 anymore. It's like 4582 North 1300 Boulevard Southwest divided by 4. It's like this big, long address. So if you live in the country, maybe just say the name of the town. We don't need to hear you saying all that. But I want you to say your address is not my home with me. You ready? Go. 738 East Penn Street is not my home. Amen. And I think it's a good thing if you might remind yourselves of that every so often. Because I love going home too. I like my TV and I like my couch and I like my fridge. Yeah. But that's not my home, guys. And when I begin to put too much stock in the comfort and cares of this life, it pulls me away from Jesus. And it's our human nature for that to happen. Remember Peter and Andrew. At once they left their nets. And immediately when Jesus invited Matthew, remember Matthew was at work collecting taxes. He was at work and he's like, come follow me. Matthew was very much a sinner. He was a tax collector. He was worse than a sinner. He was a tax collector. Jesus' invitation is for you no matter what you think your life looks like today. Follow me. He'll change you when you follow him. But you have to commit to following him. I wonder if we could talk to those guys now who are in paradise with the Lord, if they would say that leaving those tangibles, leaving the fishing net or their father or the lucrative job or whatever it might have been, if they look back now 2,000 years later and they would testify that it was worth it. Amen. And weren't they killed for the sake of the gospel? But see, guys, it's not about this life. It's about eternity. And so the question for you today is, what are you holding on to that's keeping you from truly following Jesus? Because whatever it is, whoever it is, whatever it may be, they ain't worth it. It isn't worth it. Jesus is worth it. Anything you're holding on to right now that's keeping you from following Jesus, you will come to regret, whether in this life, eternity, or in both. He's worth you letting go of it if it's keeping you from following Him. If you're taking notes, write this down. Listen to this. True safety and security are found only in Jesus Christ. What else is there? None of it's going with you. But he who does the will of the Lord will live forever. And that's what we're here to do. Our security is God's faithfulness. It's a life beyond these frail bodies, these temporary homes that are wasting away. My hope, and I hope your hope, is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. It's on Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Not most of it, all of it. I've tried it all. It's all sinking sand. It's only, as Jesus said, putting Him first, seeking His kingdom, seeking His righteousness, following Him. Following Him. All the house, the money, the sports, the relationships, the vicarious things that we use to fill the voids in our life. None of that will ever satisfy. Only He will satisfy, because it's just how God made you. He made you for that relationship. True safety and security are found only in Christ. The true follower of Jesus has no earthly ties, has no earthly security. We also have no earthly ties. Luke 9:59-60. Then another said, Jesus said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." And Jesus said, "Let the dead bury their own dead. You go and preach the kingdom." That sounds kind of un-Jesus-like. He's like, "Well, your dad died. Tough. Go preach the kingdom." But that's not what Jesus is saying, because you have to understand the culture back then. Back then, you know, burying his father didn't mean driving up to Anderson's, going in, signing the book, going through the line, and going home. Okay? Back then, this guy was probably the oldest son in his family, and actually burying his father meant, by custom, he would have had to have waited around till his mother died as well. So it could have been years or even decades before he could then go follow Jesus. And Jesus is like, there's another but, another excuse to why you can't really follow me. There's some of you here today, you've got every excuse in the world of why you can't really follow Jesus. And it's a thing, I'll follow you, Lord, if, and it's something you may never happen. It might be weeks, months, and years, and Jesus is saying, no, follow me now. Now's the time to make that choice. I'm giving you that choice today, Jesus says, to follow me. And when we do, we have no earthly ties. Some of you here today, you're holding on to stuff, something that happened, good or bad, maybe an event, maybe the death of a loved one. Let it go and follow Jesus. You don't have earthly ties. We do this thing, we'll all follow Jesus. I want to get married, get my career started. This needs to happen, you know, if this would be the deal. But Jesus says, seek me first, and everything else will take care of itself. God doesn't take caveats. He doesn't take, Lord, you can have my life if. Lord, you can have my life when. Jesus gives us two words to decide. It's follow me. Follow me. It's heartbreaking for me to see how often a living parent will hinder their sons or daughters or someone in their family's discipleship by not supporting the church, by not reading the Bible in the home, by not living out their faith, by thinking it's maybe the church's job to disciple, to do these things, or people who won't truly follow God, and this happens here a lot, people that won't follow Jesus because of their family. Well, my family aren't Christians. I get made fun of. We put our faith on the shelf. And Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. But if you'll just follow me, I'll love you. I will stand you before God one day. I will give you the kingdom. I will give you abundant, full life now. Here's a lie that we've bought, that truly following Jesus won't cost us anything. It will. If you're truly following Jesus, there's times it's going to cost you relationships. It may cost you business or a business decision. It may cost you friendship. It just does, but He's worth it. He just is. We must stop putting Jesus second or leaving Him for Sunday. I'm preaching today, there needs to be some changes in some lives. And it's time to make a decision to follow Jesus. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 10:37-39. Sounds rough, but it's not. He says this, He says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." It's great to love our kids. Does your life show that you love your kids more than you love Jesus? Because it shouldn't. I mean, we love our kids. It's very natural. He who does not take his cross and follow me isn't worthy of me. And he who doesn't lose his life, Jesus says, is not worthy of me. Got to lose it to find it. And so I love my parents, and I love my wife, and I love my kids, and I love you guys, and my family, and my friends. But Jesus must come first in my life if I'm following Him. Jesus must come first in your life if you're following Him. And the butt train and the excuse train has got to leave the station. Just because He's worth it. Well, I believe and I love Him, but we have to stop that and say, I'll just follow you, Jesus. I'll follow you, whatever it is, whatever it means, I will follow you. And if you've never done that, you have no idea what you're missing. No earthly security, no earthly ties, and no earthly distractions. Luke 9:61-62. This is our third thing about following Jesus. Luke 9:61-62. I'll just read it off the screen. And another said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me go first and bid them farewell who are at my house. And Jesus said, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom. And I'm totally guessing this, but I'm not sure this guy really wanted to follow Jesus. I think at this point in Jesus' ministry, this is like paraphrased by Micah, this is my guess, this guy was like, just wanted to be part of it. Jesus was like a rock star at this point. 2,000 years ago in Israel, there weren't a lot of like ball games or cable TV or smartphones or, you know, they didn't have movie theaters or malls. You know, there wasn't a lot going on. And all of a sudden onto the scene bursts this guy who's raising people from the dead, who's healing people, who has this huge following. Everywhere he goes, miracles are happening. And I think this guy just wanted to be a part of that. And when he says, let me go and bid them farewell who are at my house, do you think Jesus would have stopped him from making a 5-minute trip and say, hey, I'm going to follow Jesus, bye? No, I think this guy wanted to be part. He wanted to have like a party. Hey, look at, let's call him Dave. Hey, look at Dave, I'm going to follow Jesus. Everybody look at me, let's have a big send-off. I'm going to be following Jesus. And Jesus is like, that's not what following me is about. It's about dying to yourself and putting others first and loving people radically and serving and getting yourself off the throne of your life. It's not glamorous. You want to be first? Be last. I think this guy kind of maybe just like, hey, Jesus, I want to follow you because I want to follow you. I think Jesus perceived this man was probably clinging to some other things, and that resonates for you and I today, that what are we clinging to that's keeping us from really following Jesus? Because there's always distractions in life. But we who have said yes to those two words initially and are doing it now understand that it means daily surrendering our lives and our wills and our hearts and ourselves to Jesus Christ as our Lord. So now, we've studied the three guys who wanted to follow Jesus initially. Now there's number two, which is probably more pertinent to all of us, is are we following Jesus continually? Turn to John. We have just a few verses. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, starting with verse 66. We have to be following Jesus continually. Listen to this. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more. And Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have come to believe and know that You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you know this morning that Jesus is the Christ? He's the Son of God. He's your Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen. Amen. Do you know it? Yeah. Because listen to what happened. But here's what happened here. Listen to this. It didn't say, from that time many people went back and walked with Him no more. It says, from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more. Many people who were following Him, who were disciples, left Him. That's why I don't believe in eternal security. Anyway, strike two. That was a bad joke. Eternal security is a church thing where once you're saved, you're always saved no matter what. And I think that the Bible tells us I'm not so sure about that. That was rough. Bill, can you come finish the message? Where'd Bill go? All the people raised believing in that are mad at me now. I just think it says that people who were His disciples followed Him no more. And I think that you and I make life choices, if not daily, very often, of whether we're following Jesus or not. We've done it once. We were saved. We were baptized. We come to church. We're Christians. But I think we have moments, probably every day, where we say, yes, I'm following You, Jesus, or I'm not sure, because it says many who were following Him went away. See, by this time, Jesus had lots of followers, but He had way more fans. And here's the problem with fans. And as you said in church today, are you a fan of Jesus or a follower of Jesus? I'm sure some of you have done the study, okay? Here's the deal. If you're a fan of Jesus, not a follower, when the show is over or the food runs out, you're done. Ouch. You get tired. Stuff happens. We just get burnt out and we begin to not live as he tells us to live. You know what he said a few verses earlier? Listen to what Jesus said. And here's people that he knows their souls need saved. He wants them so badly to follow him, but listen to what he says and challenges them with. He says, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Jesus took some food, turned it into a bunch of food. You got to ask yourself today, what are you following Jesus for? What are you coming to church for? Is it for you or him? Is it for us or is it for the kingdom? We know what it's for. Our Christianity, your faith, is it for you or is it for the Lord? The Bible says he should increase in your life and you should be decreasing. What we want, think, feel, it should all be with Jesus as the subject and the point. Because boy, his grace is amazing, isn't it? It's free. God so loved the world. And you're so loved, but he also taught truth. He taught hard truth. And here's why these people, and we'll close with just these couple of thoughts. Here's why these people stopped following Jesus, because there's two things he revealed that made them stop following him. And there's two things you and I need to ask ourselves, am I okay with this? Because these are big deals. Number one was just who he is. And I think most of us are okay with that, but let's read John chapter 6, verses 40 through 42. He revealed who he was. He said, this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him will have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. But then the Jews complained about him and said, because Jesus said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then he says, I have come down from heaven? They got really restless and uncomfortable with the implications of following Jesus. And I hope some of us today have gotten restless and uncomfortable with the implications of truly following Jesus. That I'm preaching, you need to change your life. You really do need to be radical for Jesus Christ. You really do need to love and serve and forgive people radically. Your life really does need to look a lot different than most of the world. You may have to sever family relationships or friendships. There's a fork in the road, and that fork is Jesus. And if you're following him, your life will go this way. And you've either never done it or you have. And you're either going that way or you're not. And if you're not, you need to repent and return to your first works today. It's uncomfortable because Jesus tells us who he is. And many don't like that. But he also tells us, number two, which really did some people in, he's the only way to God. He's it. I'm sorry, Oprah. Jesus is it. John 6, 63, 64, he says this. He says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are the Spirit and they are life. But there are some who do not believe. There are some who do not believe. People fall away. You and I have a tendency to drift away from Christ if we let ourselves. The question for you today is not have you ever, but are you following him? Are you following him? In 21st century America, to whom shall we go? What will we do to have this peace, to have this joy, to have his forgiveness, to know that we're following Jesus? He tells us in 1 Timothy, he tells us that there is one mediator, there is one way that all of humanity, that you can be made right with God, and that's Jesus Christ. He gave his life to purchase freedom for you. As we preach about following Jesus, it sounds like it's going to be really hard. It's freedom. It's the freedom to follow him. It's the freedom to not have to be perfect. It's the freedom to just be able to love and know that you're in love with the Son of the living God. It's the freedom to know that it's okay to enjoy this life and to live and to be responsible. But it's to know that this is not our home, that there's way better coming. To not get too caught up in the cares of this world. It's the freedom to be able to love ugly people. It's the freedom to know that sometimes we act ugly, but we can't live that way. There's some other verses in John. He reminds us that he's leaving, but he reminds us that he gives us peace, and it's nothing that the world can give us. This world has nothing compared to being in a real relationship following Jesus Christ. And if you hear that and you're skeptical, you're probably not following him, and you need to. And the next verse, he reminds us that we know his voice. If you will follow him, you will know his voice. You'll have eternal life, and that can never be taken away from you if you're following Jesus. So why do we say no to the simple invitation to follow him? There is nothing that's holding you back from following Jesus that's worth it. And if you've gotten away, he wants you to come on back. Start following him again. You've blown it. You've messed up. You've gotten away. You just feel calloused. You feel numb. He doesn't care. He just wants you to follow him today. We're going to sing in a moment. You'll have an opportunity at your seats to pray. If you need prayer, you can come to the altar. But Jesus is asking you to follow him. Not did you one time, but are you right now? To choose this day whom you will serve. He's worth it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you would work on our hearts. The Lord, only true safety, security, only real life is found in you. That you are worth it, and you are our everything, and everything else will pass away. But if we will do your will, if we will follow you, nothing can take away the reward that you have and the abundance you have for us now. And Lord, we praise you for these things and pray you would just, Lord, remind us you are to be and you are above everything that's ever been or will be. It's all about you, and let our lives reflect this. In Jesus' name, amen.